You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff, 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Hey, welcome back here live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We have a great show for you tonight. You know, on July 20th, 1969, I think a lot of y'all listening might even know what I'm talking about. Apollo 11 spacecraft left Kennedy Space Center on its way to the moon. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins were on the spacecraft making history, with Armstrong taking the first American footsteps on the moon. Every person in America was watching. They were all watching on as the Apollo spacecraft hurled itself into space, leaving the Kennedy Space Center. Wow. You know, I think a lot of times we get overwhelmed by information, and I think information is coming at such a rapid rate that it's difficult to fundamentally process. You know, can you imagine how it would be if the spacecraft had taken off in 2014? Think about it. You know, most of us look to the past with great nostalgia, as if nothing bad ever happened, and everything was just peas and carrots again, Jenny. You know, in 1969, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, when Florida was in range of the Cuban nuclear missiles. You know, James Earl Ray was actually found guilty of murder of Martin Luther King. And remember, Richard Nixon succeeded Lyndon Baines Johnson. And the original Woodstock actually happened. That was amazing. And the Mets won the World Series, among millions of other things that took place in 1969. So tonight, Perspectives is going to take a deep look into the reality of information overload. You know, we're exploring how exactly the internet and news make you feel overwhelmed, and how our world really hasn't changed. It really hasn't changed in 50 years. You know, we're not any more than before. Okay, so not any more than before, going to hell in a handbasket. So, tonight, your job, if you choose to accept it, is to determine the real news versus the smoke screens, the drama, the trash talk, and move ahead with your own life. You know, if they showed every murder back in 1969, every violent act, every robbery, not to mention every argument and every racist comment, okay, racist comment, we wouldn't be here. Okay, we'd all be dead or insane, insane asylums or something. But you know what? There was a lot going on back then. You know, nowadays we hear it all, we see it all. There's absolutely no filter whatsoever, and we're constantly being bombarded by excess news. You know, most of it doesn't make us feel good. It doesn't make us feel with those warm and fuzzies. We're not all happy. We don't feel like we're holding a Care Bear. You know, most of us, it makes us sad. It makes us really kind of depressed. So, you know, there you go. In a few minutes, I'm going to give you the straight skinny on how to really overcome the feelings of being overwhelmed and how you can take back your life and still obtain knowledge of what's happening around you in this world. Okay, so I don't know. Let's talk about something that's been a recent news factor, something that's very interesting to me. I don't know about y'all, but have y'all been following the Malaysian aircraft in Air Flight 370 that disappeared on March 8th earlier this year? I think it's been like 6 weeks. With nothing. I mean, what do you think happened?
You think you're big time?
Yeah, I mean, it's big time, news story here, and especially the 24-hour news networks. I mean, this is all CNN, especially that's been like all airplane all the time.
Exactly. I mean, it's you don't know if it's a conspiracy theory or if it's just a mishap in the airline.
Everybody's been out there looking for it. I mean, they've spotted it in like, you know, three different locations. I think the last location was out in the Indian Ocean. Now they've, you know, tried to find it with like the little sonars to get like the little black box. And even then, I don't even think they got the little black box.
Yeah, they thought they found it.
Right.
But I mean, I think it's because it's the human aspect of this. You know, they keep going to all the families, you know, our loved ones are lost. And, you know, of course, I mean, I can only imagine how I'd feel if I were in that situation. It's like, you at least like to have your loved one there so you can have, you know, the burial or whatever in the funeral. But these people don't even have that.
You need closure.
Yeah.
That's why they want the families there, because they need that closure.
Well, yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, what were you going to do? I mean, like, you have to think about it. I mean, what were you talking about earlier? You're talking about Amelia Earhart, right? Her flight.
Right. And a lot of people are up in arms about this, because when Amelia Earhart disappeared, it was a big thing. You know, everybody was, like, looking for her. Well, she's here, she's there. And now when this flight disappeared, they're making the same comparisons, and a lot of people are mad because they think that's tainting the Amelia Earhart legacy.
I can understand that, but this is 2014. I mean, there isn't a lot of differences from 69 to 2014 as far as the caliber of news and what's happening, but the idea of losing a plane. I mean, think about this. This is interesting. On Thursday, Malaysian authorities released a report on the investigation into the disappearance of Flight 370, which reveals that air traffic controllers did not realize that the plane was missing until 17 minutes, 17 entire minutes after it vanished from radar. That's insane. So for 17 minutes, this plane goes off the radar, and they don't even figure it out. Willy-nilly, what are they doing in there? Eating Junior Mints and hanging out and partying? I mean, what's going on?
And actually, I think that's one of the big narratives of this story, and the reason why it keeps going. It's like, in this day and age, in 2014, how does an airplane just disappear?
For 17 minutes.
Well, didn't they make, like, a course correction and, like, turned, and then...
A severe course. Like they almost doubled back on themselves.
Yeah, they made the course correction, and then after they made that course correction, then
it just disappeared.
The transponder just went off.
Wouldn't you just see that on the radar and go, whoa, what's going on here? We got a problem.
Well, it could definitely cover some ground. I mean, you figure 400 or 500 miles an hour, 17 minutes. I mean, that's a quarter of an ocean.
And where they were, that put them right out in the middle of the ocean by the time anybody thought to look.
What were they doing? Pin the tail on the donkey? Everybody there? I mean, everybody, think about it. Everybody there at traffic control just turned around for 17 minutes and figure, I mean, that to me is questionable on its own.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's why all the conspiracy theories have started to spring up. It's like, you know, nobody can just wrap their minds around that this is just an accident. It has to be deliberate because of what you just said. Was everybody on smoke break?
Or was there just one air traffic controlman? I mean, how do we know? Maybe there was one person working overshift, I mean, for the third shift in a row, and they missed it. Or was there 44 people standing there missing it?
Well, a lot of people are saying, you know, that since that plane disappeared, it's the pilot. The pilot was the one that, you know, took everything offline, and he decided where everybody was going to go, and then they just eventually he did wanted to dunk it into the ocean. But who knows?
Or ran out of gas and it just, you know, crashed. Yeah.
Right. Or if you believe, you know, Courtney Love, you know, then it's in Australia somewhere.
She says it's in Australia somewhere?
Yeah.
Well, she might know.
She found it. She found it.
She probably been watching it for a while. Hasn't taken her eyes off of it.
And, of course, everything that comes out of the mouth of Courtney Love is, I mean, you can
it's
take
the gospel
bank,
truth,
right?
Okay?
Very true.
Oh, you don't like Courtney then, huh?
Let's just say she's not my first source of news.
Okay. I know you wouldn't marry her. Might not bring her home to mom and dad. Got it. I understand that. You know, but at the same time they released the report, it came at the same time that the Malaysian Airlines also told the relatives of the passengers aboard Flight 370 to move back home and to wait for news from the missing plane. You know, since March 8th, families and missing passengers have been putting relatives in hotels where they can actually stay with others who are awaiting word on the flight. And so that was kind of sad and disappointing for them, too, because as you said earlier, there's no closure. I mean, what's going on? We have no idea. Even if they find the plane, where did the people go?
Well, didn't the government already come out and declare everybody, like, deceased? Wasn't that one of the news stories that the government, they had like a press conference and they just came out and said, well, you know, we can't find the plane, so we're just going to declare everybody dead.
And, you know, Ashley, I know we're about to come up on a break, so maybe we can get into this more in the next segment, but I think that, you know, of course, kind of the theme of the show tonight is, you know, 1969 versus tonight, but maybe one difference between now and back then, there's a lot less distrust of governments.
But if you think about it, if we had all the same technology as we had then, like if we have it now and then go back to 1969 and we have CNN and we have, you know, CNBC and we have Fox and we have the internet, there would still be just as much distrust. I mean, I just don't think that a lot of people were able to communicate back then, because you and I could put on an internet page, we can say, oh, this is all a conspiracy and I think this happened, but we didn't have that option back then.
Well, and that's true. We didn't have, you know, the 500 cable channels and, you know, thousands and thousands of internet bloggers, you know, and all that good
or
stuff.
Or tweeting or Facebook or any of this stuff that you can actually equate and sit there and take a picture at a situation and a scene. Or even now with the phone, you know, the assistant pilot or whatever on that plane on the 370 flight, apparently his phone tried to ping, you know, a satellite when they were in the air. And so they realized that there was something going on. Somebody had a phone on. We wouldn't have known that either. I mean, maybe a year later on, we might find this information out, possibly. It's, but nobody had a cell phone.
Yeah, but you also got to remember back then, too, back in that time, you know, even though they didn't have, like, the internet or anything like that, you know, they did their research. So it was more fact-based than anything else.
It was more ready, aim, fire instead of ready, fire, aim.
Or we're just going to feed you this, you know what I mean? Because we've already concocted this idea. When we return, Perspectives, we'll discover how to stop being overwhelmed with the news and get back to living your life. You know, I'm going to give you the tips later on keeping your head on and seeing the world through relaxed eyes. Yeah, not stressed, but relaxed. And the world hasn't changed overnight. What has changed is how we actually obtain and get our information. So stop allowing information overload to knock you down and take your life back and learn the truth. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 2 shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, welcome back here live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess, and it's good to have you here with us tonight on Perspectives. You know, the age of information is upon us, and it seems that we can't get away from it.
Run away! Run away! Run away! Run away! Run
away! You know, we see this information, we hear this information, even when we don't want to. You want to run away, run away! But you can be minding your own business in a restaurant and be completely bombarded by the news. You didn't even necessarily want to expose yourself to this particular news, but guess what? It's right there. There is no filter, and you're constantly, constantly being bombarded by it, by this excess news. And most of us, it doesn't make you feel good. It doesn't give you the warm fuzzies. Kind of makes us sometimes depressed. Sometimes it makes me angry.
You know, and Ashley, of course, you know that I'm a radio television student at the University of North Texas. And
yes, I do.
That's something that, you know, we actually had, there's actually classes about that in the journalism department. Is, you know, back in 1969, there were 3 television networks, and basically, you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, you know, maybe a handful of really big city newspapers. And that was it. And that small amount of news sources filtered the news, and they just kind of decided what was important and what was not.
I like what you said, filtered. Okay. Yeah, because think about how life would be in the 60s if we had the internet, if we had CNN, if you had Fox, if you had CNBC. Think about it. Listen, everybody listening to the show, think about it. Wouldn't it be really different? But wouldn't it be really the same as it is now?
Well, see, and we were kind of talking about this on the break. I don't know if it would be exactly the same.
Oh, think about if you're in Vietnam, okay? You're fighting in Vietnam and you have a cell phone and you actually take video of what you're seeing
and put it on
YouTube or whatever. You put it on Instagram or you put it on Vine. Think about if you were there for the assassination of John Kennedy. Think about if you were there for when Martin Luther King was killed. Think about all these things. I mean, we're just naming the top of the rung, but I mean, there are 39 pages of information on Wikipedia of what happened in 1969. Okay. And that's just the major things. Think about if you were there and you Facebook something. And I mean, think about that. If you were fighting over there and we sent video, think about how shocked people would be. I mean, think about even Woodstock stuff, like original, like, you know, you're tweeting, I'm here at Woodstock. Oh my gosh. I mean, think about how crazy that would be. I mean, it would be about the same as it is now, even maybe crazier.
No, well, it probably would be a lot crazier because you get instant access to it. But back then, you didn't have that instant access. You know, they did take video of, like, in Vietnam, but then they would show it on, like, the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or even 10 o'clock news.
Or you get to read it in Time Life magazine.
Right, but the way that they showed the video, it was always, you know...
scripted.
Right, and this is what, you know, we did, and we hid behind here, and there was a firefight over here, and there was a firefight over here, you know, and then they came and they dropped some bombs.
And look, we're all great. Everything's good. All is good. Right. We all had a chance to have a beer, and guess what? The water's working, so everybody got showers. We're all good. And somebody got some cigarettes, so we're all happy. Yeah,
they used to call it the 5 o'clock follies.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, nowadays, I mean, think about if that was really going on, like how we see it. But, I mean, it would be crazy.
But yeah, if you had this technology back then, and you could break out your cell phone, you know, it's like, okay, well, here's what's really going on. Let me upload it to my Facebook account, Instagram, you know, I'll post it on Twitter, you know, or whatever. Social media
well,
that you have.
And guys, here's my point, though, real quickly. My point is that, okay, 1969, even if they had all access to all the sources of information that we do now, the level of jadedness that people have today didn't quite exist at the same level as it did back in 1969. Okay, now it was starting to. Okay.
I'm going to argue that, though. You know what I'm going to argue about that is that I think that people are jaded more nowadays because they think it's a new thing. They think that we've been in war for so long. We've been in the Afghanistan war for 14 years. We were in Vietnam for 20. Okay, 20 solid years. What? People think that the president, okay, oh, we have so many problems with Obama. Oh, my God, it's so awful. Well, think about all the problems we were having. First of all, Kennedy was killed in our own country. That is ridiculous.
Both Kennedys.
Both Kennedys. And think about Lyndon Johnson takes over, then Nixon, then Watergate. All this stuff. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, things really haven't changed. Well,
you could add to that Birmingham, you know, the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King getting killed, you know.
And nowadays we have a guy that owns a team, that owns a basketball team, that makes some racist comments, and it's going to hit all over the air. Think about how many racist comments were made in 1969. Think about, desegregation in the 60s. Think about the whole scenario. I mean... It blows it right out of the water. We're just trying to find news now.
That's my point, though, Ashley, is that all that stuff was happening as it was. You know, we can kind of look back on it now and kind of make a little bit of sense of it, you know. But you had said, okay, people are more jaded now since, you know, Afghanistan has been going on for so long. Well, don't you think they would have, you know, been just the same in 69? They would have seen all this stuff. But they hadn't up until that point.
But it wasn't bombarded by them. Like, they didn't have to be surrounded by it in a restaurant. They didn't have to be surrounded by it when they came home. They didn't have to go online and see every single bit of it. You know, like, back then, it was kind of almost romanced, if you think about it. Like you were saying earlier, I mean, the whole idea, Dano, about how they would show a video and they would throw it out there, and it was well-scripted and it looked good. That we don't have that nowadays, and I think people were just as jaded. Think about the people that had relatives and family members in the Vietnam War.
Well, here's my opinion, and I think this is where people started to get jaded, was during the Vietnam War. Because when the war started, everybody was like, okay, well, we'll kind of support it. As the war went along, that's whenever the protesters started. You know, get everybody out of Vietnam. Even the soldiers coming back from Vietnam were like, okay, get us out of there. We don't want to be there. It's not our problem.
Yeah, and I think, Dan, I mean, I think that's kind of the point I'm trying to make. Because you got to remember, Ashley, 1969, that's only 25 years after the end of World War II.
Well, let's go back to World War II. I'm glad you went there. Let's think about World War II. Did you not think that there was some people protesting World War II? Do you not think that there was women and children and everybody else protesting this war?
There were.
I mean, there definitely was. We just didn't hear about it because it didn't make the history books because we didn't have the option. Nobody was standing on the side of the road in front of, you know, the White House saying, okay, here I am. Let's get a vine of this. I'm in front of these women protesting World War II. Okay, they're trying to get out of the automotive, you know, sweatshop. I mean, seriously, I mean, think about it. If we had the technology, we would see that we're probably just as jaded, just as angry. But now we kind of forget history because I know for a fact I didn't know that Vietnam went for a solid 20 years. And I don't think a lot of kids in our schools are even learning that at all, whether or not they even know when Afghanistan war started. I mean, some people don't even know where Israel is on the map.
Oh, some people don't even know where Russia is or China is on a map. I mean, forget Israel, you know.
Or that Russia and Cuba, you know, Cuba are allies, and the fact that we're having issues with Russia and they're right off the coast of our country. But how? Remember, the Cuban Missile Crisis was going on in 69. And so what was it?
62.
Okay, so it was going on at that same time. So in the 60s, I don't know. So think about it. It's the same issues. I mean, it's only just changed kind of the person that's in charge. You know, so now we got this guy in charge, a little different. You know, like the names have changed, but the situation is still to be the same.
I wish I had that Who song up, you know, Don't Fool Us Again.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I love that. But it feels like that. It feels like, I mean, because I didn't realize, because a lot of times people say, okay, there's war, there's all this stuff going on, but it really is kind of happening. You know, this country, it seems like, has gone through kind of the same type of situations even back then. I mean, think about Marilyn Monroe. Okay, Marilyn Monroe was one of those women, I mean, gosh, she dated, had sex with the president, you know, was in it to win it. But, you know, think about our Marilyn Monroes of 2014. We have like 100 of them. Okay, I mean, think about them.
You get, more than that.
100, I mean, who, name some of the, name some of
Kate,
the women.
Kate Upton.
Okay, you know? Some of the ones that are always getting in trouble as well.
Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, I mean, there's a...
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. I mean, those are kind of the Marilyn Monroes of our time, just because they could only follow around so many people. They didn't have as many trash magazines, as many, you know, you didn't go up to the register at 7-Eleven and look at the, you know, the National or the Enquirer and see, you know, John F. Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe getting out of some nightclub hanging out.
Yeah, and by the way, the press, it's been well established by now. The press definitely knew about his indiscretions and deliberately kept that from the public.
Right, because they didn't want anything, because he was a squeaky clean guy, you know, he was in the war, you know, so he was our president, and he was the youngest president at that time, so of course everybody was going to look up to him.
You know, Camelot. Yeah. You know, they actually bought into that whole, you know, myth about, you know, it's a new generation, you know, taking the baton from the World War II generation.
But if you're going to relate, like, presidential scandals, I think the closest one would be with Clinton and Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's definitely, because if there was really technology at the time when all this was going on with Marilyn Monroe and John F. Kennedy, there would be no stopping it. Well, everybody would know about it. There's no question.
And Marilyn Monroe, by the way, was far from being Kennedy's only mistress.
Oh, he had several. Oh,
very true.
I mean, far from it. In fact, and I'm not plugging, you know, anybody's book, but if you've ever read Killing Kennedy by Bill O'Reilly, and
my show now. Whoa.
Whether you like Billy O'Reilly or whether you hate him. I mean, you know, some people like him, some people don't. But I happened to read his book, and I thought it was really good.
I have no problem with Bill O'Reilly, you know, but I haven't read his book yet. I haven't seen it.
I would recommend it, because I think he kind of gives, you know, those kind of details that not many people, you know, want to think about.
What about Obama? I wonder who he's seeing on the side.
You know, I mean, there's been no rumors, and I got to think that in this day and age, if there was, floozy on the side, if I can use that word, don't you think the press would have reported it by now?
Oh, money and power is a very interesting thing, and I think just like back then with Kennedy and everybody else, it's just the same deal. I mean, you know, there's some things you just don't report.
Of course, the press, by and large, do support Obama, so...
Or, you know, Michelle's just holding the fort down, shall we say.
Ooh, I like that, big skinny in the house.
She's taking care of business, huh?
In the house, big skinny.
She's,
you know,
good
that's
girl.
The key, you know? I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, I do think that they overlook some things in the lieu of the fact that there is problems. And so they don't want to have any more problems exposed, especially in a second term. I mean, that's my thought on it.
Well, yeah, because if you think back whenever Nixon was running for his second term, and then that's when the whole Watergate scandal broke out, you know, right then and there. So he had to figure out a way to cover it up. And then, of course, he was so paranoid, he wanted to record everything in his office. But yet then there was some, you know, 20 minutes of missing from this tape, 30 minutes missing from this tape, 10 minutes missing from this tape. Okay, what were they talking about?
Yeah, he put that off as long as he could. Mm-hmm. As long as he could.
Yeah, I bet that the owner of that, what's the team, the Clippers? What's his name?
Oh, Donald Sterling.
I bet he wished there was 20 minutes missing from that tape.
I bet he wishes the tape wasn't there at all.
It's too bad that we can't just accept that nowadays, you know?
But you know what's funny about that, though, is, well, not funny, ha-ha, but...
But funny,
you,
sad. Yeah, funny, real.
If you go back, you know, like making the correlation between now and like the 60s or even the 50s or the 40s or whatever, what if that would have been said back then, that would have been perfectly acceptable.
Absolutely.
You know,
maybe not perfectly. I mean, I take your point, Dano. I mean, maybe not perfectly acceptable, but I mean, it would not have exploded.
Yeah, there wouldn't have been a big stink about it.
But we also have to think about the idea of technology, because if we would have had that technology at the same time back in the 60s, things might have actually progressed faster. We might have actually gotten over the fact of racism quicker. People might have realized that they sound like an idiot when they do that kind of stuff.
Well, they would have beamed, a Bull Connor turning the fire hoses on the people in Alabama, live, broadcasted all around the world.
Exactly. So guess what? We got a lot going on tonight. We're talking about a lot of big stuff, and that's the key. So later on, when we rejoin here after our break, I'll be giving you the information on how to not feel overwhelmed by the news and how you can actually make the news and the information work for you, how you can get past the smokescreen, the drama, and the trash talk and move ahead with your daily life. So stay tuned, because we, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
All along the watchtower, preserves kept a view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.
Welcome back here live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And it feels like we've kind of slipped back into 1969 tonight, because really, honestly, if we were back in the 60s and we had all this technology and I was able to have this show, we were talking about this, it'd be pretty wild. It'd be pretty groovy, really. Pretty interesting.
Groovy, far out.
Peace, man.
Peace out. Peace. Make love, not war.
You know, you have to think about it in life. You know, like, not much has really changed in the 50 years. The only difference is really the way that we intake this mass media. Think about CNN, Fox News, CNBC, and those are not in any specific order. Think about the internet. Think about how different all those together, as well as like personal blogging and personal websites, have really changed what's going on in the United States. Like that song, Jefferson Airplane, really thinks, kind of goes back to me about the Vietnam War, and you always see like these, these kind of like connections where there'll be like 5 minutes of a montage of some of the footage that they showed in Vietnam, and they would have like that song and a few other songs behind it, like all along the watchtower and everything like that. And it's really interesting, because we were given these tidbits of information, these few little bits of film footage. Sometimes they didn't even have sound, sometimes they did, and a lot of times, people just took that as everything. That was what they were given. I mean, there are some countries I won't talk about tonight, international countries that deal with that they are actually given their news and they accept that is what it is.
Well, it's because they need to slant it in their favor
to make it look good,
right? We're the bad people. If we're involved, we're the bad people, so they have to slant it. It's like, well, this is what they did, so we had to retaliate.
Exactly. And we're gonna put gardening on for the next 5 hours. You're gonna watch that, because it's all good for you. You're gonna have your land, you're gonna garden. But if you think about like the Vietnam War, let's talk about this, because I know a lot of people nowadays are upset with Bush, upset with Obama. About his situation, about the war. But what about the Vietnam War? That was like December 56 and the fall of Saigon on April 30th, 1975.
Well, and think about it too. Vietnam as a whole went far beyond that. You go back to the French and then, the Japanese. I mean, those people were at war pretty much continuously for 50 freaking years.
Well, Kennedy sent the troops over there just to train them.
Actually, Eisenhower.
Eisenhower
actually is the one who sent special forces and special advisors.
He was smart. And Eisenhower was smart.
All they were supposed to do was just train him.
Right.
And then Kennedy was going to pull him out, and then he gets assassinated, and guess what?
Guess what? We're back in the war.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, of course, Johnson, expands it, and, then Nixon, tried to bomb him back into the Stone Age.
You just brought up something that was interesting.
Me?
Both of you. Okay,
that was an accident, I'm sure.
God bless us all. No, the concept about the Kennedy assassination. Think about this. Think about if us, the Perspectives crew, was out there on the day that Kennedy was assassinated. Think about if we had our iPhones or whatever phones we have. Think about that. Think about if we were able to upload to YouTube what we saw. Think about how easy that would have probably been to figure out who really assassinated JFK.
There would have been about a million Zapruder films instead of just the one.
And it would have been done deal. I mean, we would have figured it out. I mean, there's a reason why we haven't figured it out already, because there's already people involved and it's a whole government deal. We got all this issues behind it. But, you know, the whole thing behind this is that we would have figured out because the knowledge would have been able for the masses to see. And in the past, we didn't have that option. I mean, I remember meeting a guy when I was feeding some ducks out by this lake in Dallas. And I'm not going to go into all the ends all and be all to life's existence. But his girlfriend now was the girl in the lady in the red dress. And he was telling me about he's an older gentleman, but he was telling me about that day and about what he remembered. And all you could do was remember something. And I know how all of us are, and I know how everybody is that's listening to this show. You remember a lot, but you don't always remember it exactly how it happened, right?
Yeah, time kind of, you know, tends to make you forget some
and
of the details.
Perspective, right? Our perspective. If there was a big bush in front of us, right, and we could only see like 3/4 of whatever, our perspective might be a little different, you know?
Well, if we were all standing at different stages around that bush, then I would see something, Bill would see something, you would see something, everybody would see something.
Now you're going all Einstein on us here, Dana. What's up with this? You know, if it's during relativity,
like the telephone game. I saw this.
But that's how it is, though. I mean, if you think about it, back when Kennedy was assassinated, everybody had their own version. Well, there was a shot over there from the grassy knoll. There was a shot over there from, you know, the school book depository.
But there was nobody like you over there with your phone in the air, looking right over there going, hey, let me, as you're shooting it. Because that's what normally happens nowadays is by accident.
Yeah. But
somebody gets the shot, okay, and they see it, and they go, oh my gosh, who's that guy right here?
But wouldn't you think, though, because Zapruder was the closest one to the fence line area.
Right.
Right. And so if there was been a shot from the fence line area, wouldn't you think he would have heard it?
Well, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, but what about the trained CIA assassin that was up at the book repository?
And, you know, I've all...
What about the driver? Who knows about the driver?
Well...
Yeah, come on, keep them coming, Ashley. Keep them coming.
But then there's also theories, too, that, you know, not the driver, but the lead car in front of him, as soon as the shots were heard, that he reached down to pull up a gun, and when he was pulling up his, like, little rifle, a shot went off, and that's the shot that killed Kennedy.
That's been debunked, by the way. But, yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of – which, by the way, full disclosure, I happen to subscribe to no conspiracies about that, so I'm probably the odd duck out here. But
Okay.
But I mean,
we'll agree to disagree.
If there was no conspiracy, they would have already told us what happened. I mean, if there's no government involvement, everybody would already know what happened. Because even if it was a mafia hit, the mafia is not the government. They would have let that go probably like 10, 15 years ago. But now, I mean, think about it. This is like high up here. You got CIA, you got trained black op assassins coming in from Canada and doing their deal. And they had to kill them off before they talked.
And then you got to kill those people who killed them off.
Which they did.
And then you got to kill those people off who killed those people off.
Which they did.
You know, it just, you know, it goes on. You know, and which, but I think, you know, kind of going back to our point about the media, you know, Kennedy's procession through Dallas would have been broadcast live.
Exactly. And yeah. I would have been out there because, you know, I take pictures like crazy. You know, I take video like crazy. I would have been out there. I would have been so up in it. I mean,
you would have talked your way onto
Stone would have nothing compared to me.
You would have talked your way into the car.
Oh, yeah. I hope I wouldn't have gotten shot. I mean,
or at least right there on the front row, you know, where his limousine, he would have looked at you. Oh, hi, Ashley. I know you. You know,
good to see you again. So, how you been?
I mean, well, also, if you think about it, too, as far as like today, you know, like how you were saying, it would have been live, broadcast live, a lot of those people wouldn't have been standing on the street corner. They would have had them pushed back some, you know. And
exactly. They would have had, like, security all there,
well,
barricades.
Yeah, that, today, yes. But remember back then, you know, of course, the Kennedy assassination hadn't happened, right? So they kind of, well, you know.
They didn't even have a pullmobile. They didn't have a cover on the car.
It was his choice, though, wasn't it?
It was his choice, yes.
It was.
Kennedy is the one who decided not to have the bubble canopy because it's a bright, sunny day. and he was all about wanting people to see
full exposure.
Yeah.
Hence why he had no involvement in his own murder. We know that now.
Yeah, now don't go too far on that. No, I'm kidding.
No, he didn't. Okay, so he was all peaceful. You know, the thing was that the guy was actually probably a decent guy. I mean, even though he had some, affairs and what have you. But other than that, I mean.
You know, and then, of course, if you go with Governor Conley's statement at the time, right before Kennedy got shot, he said,
my God, Texas, they're going to kill us all. Yeah.
Well, he said, Texas loves you. And right about that time.
Actually, no, that was Mrs. Kennedy. Mrs. Connolly saying that to Mrs. Kennedy. You know,
bum rap since then, okay? The state of Texas, the city of Dallas, has really just taken the bum rap since then.
I was actually having that, it's eerie. I was having that discussion, I think, last month with somebody. You look at, okay, Bobby Kennedy got killed in Los Angeles.
Right.
Martin Luther King got killed in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay, that's where I'm from. Okay.
And yet... even going back, through history, I mean, all the other, president, like when Lincoln was killed in Washington, D.C., nobody blamed Los Angeles for killing Bobby Kennedy. Nobody blamed Memphis for killing King.
But everybody blamed Dallas,
Texas. Everybody's blaming Dallas.
Well, because there's because nobody was able to actually claim that this wasn't like a hit. This wasn't like some sort of government hit. I mean, there's so much, like you said, what is that, jadedness around this whole thing that it upsets people. I think it makes people kind of panic because there wasn't enough knowledge. I mean, there really wasn't to sit there and defend the great state of Texas and say, hey, it's not all about this. This happened because it was set up here. It wasn't us.
That had happened today, though, there would be too much knowledge.
Well, I think it also stems, too, because of, like everybody saying that Oswald, shot the president. And then, of course, Jack Ruby shoots Oswald. And so.
But you got to shoot Jack Ruby now. Well, if it's a conspiracy.
Right. And which is kind of what happened because
nobody killed him. He died of cancer.
He wasted away in jail. But still, that's where the theory starts right there. Somebody kills a president, and then you kill that person that killed the president, allegedly,
Because otherwise it would have just stopped there. Okay, we got the guy, we got him, he's in jail, okay, what have you, right? But it doesn't stop there, and it continues to go on and on and on, and then they use the mob ties here in Dallas to go on and continue this whole deal, which you're right about that. I mean, and he ended up wasting away in prison.
Right, and so that's what spawned all the conspiracy theories.
Which has great right to be.
Right, so, and like you were saying, if Ruby hadn't shot Oswald, then that would have been the end-all be-all. Okay, we got the guy. This is what happened. All right, case closed. Let's move on.
That's what happened in other cases. But, we'll talk about this.
Yeah, talk about it after the
break. When we get back here, Perspectives with me, Ashley Burgess, will actually be talking a little bit more on what we're talking about right now, as well as the fact of how to not be overwhelmed by the stockpile of news, because I think it can get to all of us, because we don't have a chance to actually have an automatic filter. We actually have to construct our own news filter. And by doing that, you can actually have a healthy, happy, and better life. So stay tuned because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in 2 shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back here live. It's Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess.
I like your choice of music tonight, by the way.
It makes you just happy.
Yeah.
It's got a great sound. It's got a great name. Happy,
Happy song, and then the last segment, Jefferson Airplane, which, by the way, nice choice there because Grace Slick was hot.
And that's what we talked about during the break. If we had a camera in here, everybody would have seen me dancing in my chair.
That was awesome.
And maybe that's a good reason why we don't have a chair camera here. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, well, we're going to get a camera here soon because we're going to have to show this. I mean, honestly, the word's got to get out. We got to give the news, okay? This is like old school. I mean, we might as well have a telegraph and be like in the 60s and just like not show anything and then tell everybody in Time Life later on how great it really was. All the makeup and, you know, the wigs and the powder and this and that. So, you know, we've been talking tonight about dealing with too much information, how we get our news. And one of the big differences was between the 60s and 2014 is the way that we accumulate that news, right? So you got CNN, NBC, CBS, you got the internet, for goodness sakes, not to mention all the magazine tabloids, all the blogs, personal blogs, websites. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, there's so much information out there and it can be overwhelming because if you don't have a filter, you can't begin to take it all in because it can make you scared, depressed. It can make you even stay at home as well as it can overwhelm you. I mean, oh my gosh, we're going to hell in a handbasket. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Yeah.
So it could be argued, Ashley, that we actually have too much information.
You know, you could say that, but I think it's the way you handle it because, you know, too much is too much. But I think, honestly, you just got to pick and choose. I mean, you don't eat everything you see at a buffet, do you?
Of course.
Well, it doesn't
it
doesn't show on Big Skinny because he has a metabolism of a gerbil.
Okay, you are not allowed on this discussion.
Well, like they say, I have my mother's hips, so I just roll with it.
That is hilarious.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Okay, for everybody else listening tonight, okay, besides Big Skinny, you know, if you go into a buffet, if you want to actually get your body in the door, okay, and any other door for that matter, after you leave the buffet, you don't eat everything on there. I mean, there's definitely something that you don't like, something that you do not want to eat, or something that you're allergic to, or whatever, or you're going to throw up or regurgitate after. However, you have to pick and choose and create your filter. And I think the first thing of making you happy is to realize that not much is different, okay? We were in the war. We've had our conflicts. We've had all this exploration. We've had presidential intrigue. We've had musical and film stars doing crazy things. We've had unrest all throughout the world. We've had famine. We still do. We have financial woes. Still did. Now do too. The current issues are still kind of the same, except for the players might be different, or it might be kind of you know, they've elected a new person to do things. But however, we're basically in the same situation, maybe a little more advanced. And with that in mind, because we're able to sit on our own couch or be at the restaurant or look at our phone and see all this news, you got to really construct that filter. What is it that you need to know to get you through the day? What is it that you need to know to make yourself more knowledgeable? And I think that's important.
Well, if you go back and you say you had the technology, say like the internet and the 24/7 news.
Yeah, back in the 60s.
Back in the 60s, people would have been burnt out on it.
Oh, and they are now.
Well, you can't go into a restaurant now or, like, any place without there being a TV in this corner, a TV in that corner, you know, and there's either some kind of news on or sports or, you know, the local gossip.
Yeah, because I drive my girlfriend crazy because I want a booth that gives me a good view of the TV.
Oh, no, you're not one of those.
I am one of those.
I'm one of those, too.
I used to be one of those. I'm not anymore.
Well, I did see a funny sign the other day. It was on Facebook or Twitter. It was one of those signs out front, the chalkboards that said, "Our Wi-Fi is out. You must socialize and get drunk. Have a great day."
That's awesome.
I like that.
That's so true because, like, think about it. How many times have you walked into a restaurant and you go, "Man, I'm really glad that they're showing Telemundo." I mean, seriously, because you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to sit there and say, okay, we got issues with the Clippers. We got issues with Flight 370. We got issues with these people that are death, dying, and dismemberment. We got these people that died in the tornado recently. Honestly, all this stuff, but really it's the same. There were tornadoes back then. There were racist comments back then. There were obviously flights that went undetected. So, I mean, you know, a lot of times it's about creating that filter and also kind of realizing how much time do you take watching this? And I think a lot of times us in the world get frustrated because we don't really put our time ratio. How much time do you spend on Facebook? How much do you spend on Twitter? All social media aspects, as well as how much time do you watch local, state, national, international news? Think about it. I mean, that's important because you really need to balance your outlets. Like, too many outlets for news, it's too much. It's too much intake. You can't do it. It's like alcohol. You can only drink so much before you pass out. And we're going to have more shows. You know, this conversation is not over. It's not over. It's far from over, because the extrapolation of what we talked about tonight is groundbreaking. It's something that most people have never really thought about. You really have to agree with me that most people haven't thought about the constraint of the fact that this is very similar, and that a lot of times we see things in a vacuum. We don't see the past. We don't see it as the present. We're too much looking at the future. So next week, we got a great show for you. If you missed anything or you want to catch up on anything, definitely go to the AshleyBurgess.com. AshleyBurgess.com is a great family-oriented website, as well as you can check out the podcast, the iTunes podcast, that you can just click the iTunes little icon on the homepage at AshleyBurgess.com, and you can hear the last 100 and change shows of Perspectives, because we have a lot to share. So next week, don't miss us as the Amiga and the Amigos come on with Perspectives Live. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in, 3 shakes.